I have a question I'd like to ask you tonight. Do you believe in Holy Spirit leadership? If you do, and you have a special song that the Lord has given you for this night, I believe He can work that in for you. I believe He can make a way for you to give that. I know I'm breaking a little rule here tonight, but I feel the Lord has given me something. And I need your prayers. Brethren, I know what it's like to have a burden on my heart so heavy. And I know you know what it's like. And if you have a burden tonight, I ask you to do like I've done many times, that I felt like I've had a burden and someone else got up. I said, Lord, the blessing that You is going to bless me, I want You to pour it out on them. I desire You to pray with me tonight. I have something on my heart that I feel like the Lord has given us. And I believe that there will be all of us here that agree that we all have a spirit. Every one of us has a spirit. We have no question with that. We have no problem with that. We have to be careful with our spirit and what we do with our spirit, how we conduct ourselves to keep that spirit pure and to keep that spirit in tune with our Maker. And I believe tonight that we have the Word of the Lord that will help us to keep us in tune with the Spirit of God. We have a battle on our hands, as we are in a time where there's a lot of spirits in the world, and many of them are out of line. There's many spirits that don't agree with the Spirit of God. I used to work at a place where they had some large fans, large, maybe 10 feet tall. Curtis still works there, and Brother Curtis and Brother Danny's work there. I watched them one time start that blower up, exhaust fan, and when they did for the first time, the thing nearly shook off the mounts. It was very much out of balance. It shook so bad that they had to call in a specialist to balance this blower. They had to call someone in to get it balanced. And I watched him put a light, a strobe light on this wheel, and I watched him balance that wheel. It was out of a line. It wasn't long till he got that wheel in such balance, as close as he could, that thing smoothed out, and that thing was able to stay on the platform, is able to work properly, and it runs smooth. Alright, I've also balanced tires before. I've done that. I had a course in mechanics. You mark the tire, and there's different procedures that you do. You all know what balancing tires is like. There's different methods and ways of doing it. Mine was a fairly old way, but it had a strobe light on it that shined on that tire that froze the motion at a certain place. You could tell how many ounces of weight to put on that tire to get it balanced. And you knew right where it was at. You could balance that thing. God wants us to be balanced in our spirits. There are many spirits that is out of balance. There's many things that's out of control, that is not balanced properly, that God wants to put in its proper place. And to do that, we're going to have to come under the anointing of, we're going to have the Word read to us, preached to us. We're going to have to live up to it to come in balance, even saints. We're going to have to be a balanced people in everything we do. Yes. If we're off in one point, the Bible said, He's guilty of all. Yes. We can't make it by just being off a half a bubble. We're going to have to be balanced in everything we do. Our spirits are going to have to be in touch with our Maker. And we're going to have to keep in contact with God. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in an unbalanced condition, a situation that no one wants to be in. Look with me now. I have several scriptures to read. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Very familiar scripture. I would just like to set a little stage, just to build a little foundation here, a strong foundation, that God would help us tonight to understand a little bit more about spirits, to understand about our spirit. You know, going to school, we had a teacher that taught us about using the word bad. Bad, B-A-D. He said, when you say that's a bad motor, take it out and spank it. If you think it's bad, take it out and spank it. If it's bad, he said, what I'd really rather you do is define what you mean by bad. It's shorted, it's open, or it's electrically good, maybe mechanically stuck. You define that. When you send a motor back in the factory to be worked on, don't just put on there bad motor. They're going to think you naughty thing. You can't do that. You got to define what it means to be bad. When you hear somebody say, oh, they had a bad spirit, what do you think when they say that? What do you think when they say they got a bad spirit? What goes through your mind? Could we talk a little bit tonight about spirits?
Yes, amen.
Could you pray for me the Lord would help us tonight? He says here in the 8th chapter of Romans in the 9th verse, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Is that a starting point? Now can we start to define just a little bit spirits? When we say bad, can we get down and clarify just a little closer what it means to be bad? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you could say that man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, or that woman doesn't have the Spirit of Christ. It's not in them. They didn't have the Spirit of Christ. Maybe it was in them and they misused it. Maybe they got off on something and their spirit was tainted and it got out of balance. We say, well, they didn't use the Spirit of Christ in dealing with that. We need to get back in line. When you go, and I got in my mind a picture of the Lord drawing a line and setting a line. And every one of his children came in tune with that line. Yes. Their spirit measured up right on the line. Yes. You could mark it. Those people had the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Those people were in touch with God. God has a line. And I can see in my mind that he has a straight line. And everyone that is Christ comes to that line. Their spirits line up. Their spirits agree. Now listen. There is spirits of all sorts and sizes and shapes. There's farmers in here that would even say, brother, if you told me the Spirit never got in cows, you ought to come over on Wednesday night and milk mine. I believe the spirit of the devil got in those cows. We read about the swine being infected by all those spirits that went in them. That's possible. I want to tell you something. The devil doesn't like to walk in dry places. He doesn't like to walk in something in the air. We realize that the prince of the power of the air is working. But what's he work through? What's his vehicle? It's alive things. And there's also other things that he works through that's not alive. I've seen many different areas where the enemy works through, but a lot of times what we're dealing with right now is a spirit. Pray with me now. In the book of Luke, the 9th chapter, I'd like to look here for a moment. And ask the Lord to help us. There were several different spirits that was manifested in his disciples from time to time. Not all of them was good. In the 51st verse of the 9th chapter of Luke, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." I want to stop right there for a moment. In our terminology, would say he had a murderous spirit. Lord, let's just send some fire down here and take them off. Jesus didn't say that. He said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. They had a spirit to they wanted to get him away. Let's just, Lord, I've seen you do this. I've heard of this like Elias did. Now, you send a little fire and get him. He rebuked him. You don't know what manner of spirit ye are of. Lord, help us tonight, dear ones. There is similarity in spirits. There's things that a similarity, meaning there is like spirits. I'm thinking how that the Lord has a way of getting his people together. They have a like spirit. There is something common in between them. Their spirits blend. There's also something that the devil has in his kingdom too. Yeah. And there is like spirits. And they blend. Yeah. And they're very strong. Right. I'm glad tonight for the verse he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. That's the reason I'm up here. If I'd bow down to the spirit of the devil and I would have never got up here. But I want to tell you something tonight. The weakest one of God's children is well able to conquer the spirit of the devil. We are able by his help to overcome the spirit of the devil. It's sure he's entrenched in a lot of folks' lives. He's dug way down and he's got there. But I believe the weakest of the weakest are able to call on the name of Jesus and rebuke the spirit of the devil and have victory over him. I've seen it many times and I believe it tonight. Amen. There are spirits that we can catch. We can get onto. There's different means of travel that they go through. And we need to guard ourselves tonight. I feel a heavy burden on my heart tonight. There's an unseen world that we deal with. And may God help us and open up our eyes to be able to detect the spirit of the devil. To be able to see where he's moving. I've watched different things happen. I've struggled and I've prayed, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what's happened. There's something going on. Lord, I want you to help me to know what I'm fighting against. It's important for you and I to know that. There's many a people that struggle and they wonder, what am I fighting against? I've prayed and the Lord just not long ago, I said, Lord, I want you to put some clothes on the devil. I want you to put some clothes on him. I'm not happy with punching at something I can't see. I want you to clothe that devil. I want to know what he is. Or that spirit. I want to know what kind of spirit that is that I'm fighting against. And I'll tell you, it wasn't long the Spirit of the Lord began to put a hat and a coat and some pants, and I began to see what I was fighting. And dear ones, it's important for you and I to see and know what we are up against, because we are up against an enormous task. And it's going to take the Spirit of the Lord to help us to keep our spirit in line with God as we go along our journey in life. We must keep ourselves pure and holy, and we're going to need the Lord's help to do that. He is the only one that can put the special vision and discernment in our heart, in our mind, our spirits, to be able to detect what's right and wrong. You know, we think sometimes that we want the discernment of spirits. And I do, and you want that also. Did you know Satan knows his own? They have the same, Satan has that same power. We need something more than just knowing those folks got a bad spirit. That's bad. We need more than that. What do you mean by bad? What do you mean when you say they had a bad... Oh, they didn't agree with mine. Are you sure yours is right? Lord, help us tonight. What are we going to go by? Where's the gauge? Where's the monitor? What are we going to say? Where do we say, okay, preacher, you said to clothe it. Now, where's the line? I'm going to say that we have Scripture, we have the Word of God that will help us to identify and to be able to annihilate the workings of the Spirit of God, or the spirit of the devil. We don't want to annihilate the Spirit of God. Many people have grieved His Spirit, but we want to be able to see where we're coming from, what's coming at us. It's not enough to know where we're going. Many times the Lord springs a lot of traps out there in front of my way. He helps me to see things moving in the bush before I even get there. You need that. You need that in your spiritual life. If you don't see something up moving in the bush up ahead of you, you can get a snare. You can get trapped. God help us. I thought of different ones here that has come up here, and different ministers, and there's been several things spoke about spirits. And I thought, Lord, they're going to preach it. Thank the Lord, let them do it. And there's been several attacks against different kinds of spirits. And I have a burden tonight too, and put a label on a few of them. Lord, help us. I'd like to look in the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. First John 4:1, he said, Beloved, that's to you and I. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We don't have no trouble with that, do we? Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. A test. I know different ways to test oil, to see if oil has acid in it. You use litmus paper. Several you cooks and things, you've used that before. You can tell how much acid's in oil, whatever. Lord, help us tonight. There's a test to run. And I believe when we have the Spirit of God, there is something that we can use. I believe there's a spirit that He gives us, and everything that's false will be rectified. It'll be made known. Many different kinds of spirits. I think about how Jesus dealt with different kinds of spirits. In His day, He dealt with different things that came along, and I believe he used authority in dealing with those things, didn't he? He had authority. He had power over the spirits of the devil. I believe we have that tonight. It's nothing new. It's nothing that's uncommon to the people of God. There is something that he gives us as a monitor. He gives us something to be able to detect when things are wrong. And he wants us to be able to do that. In the last days, he said, there would be, as in the days of Noah, there would be people marrying and giving in marriage, marrying wives. Call it an adulterous generation. We are in an adulterous generation. People have an adulterous spirit. They have adulterous spirits. They're rampant in the land. Guard yourself. Be careful. Be very careful. Adulterous spirits looming around, lurking around, come right among us many times. What are we going to do? If I told you to just sit back and relax, I'd be failing your soul. I'm telling you to beware. They take no respect for anyone, anybody. Listen, God has designed our soul to be full. He's designed our spirit to be satisfied in Him. When we're not, and our spirit dwindles and withers, and pretty soon there's no connection, no life in God, there is a vacuum. And when that vacuum is created, don't think for one minute that Satan is not aware of that vacuum. He is fully aware of that vacuum that's been created. And he seeks to devour and to kill and to steal and destroy. I'm saying if you give an adulterous spirit any opening, any room, that thing will get a hold of you. An adulterous spirit. A lustful spirit. Can we stop here for a moment? We're in a world that is full of wicked things, dear ones. God help us and give us understanding tonight. There are several things that I'd like to just mention and put a tag on the devil. If we could clothe him tonight and you could see him better, I believe you'd know how better to fight him. Young people, I want to warn you. I know from experience. You be careful what you get your hands on and what you see with your eyes. Let me tell you something. If you knew how many homes were wrecked by people, by young boys, getting a hold of the wrong material, it'll filter right in through our campground gates. It'll get right in among us in your congregation. It'll get right in your home. Be careful, oh, be careful. You don't know what that'll do to you. There's many people tonight that are struggling, having a hard time in their life. I know some are so far away from God because they started going to the movies when they was a little boy. I know this. They started looking at things that they shouldn't have been looking at, and somebody passed something to them and they saw it and it got a hold of them. And I want to tell you, that spirit is a damaging, damnable thing. And God help your soul to shine over everything that looks like wrong that you may even see on the street laying there. It's everywhere. I've been appalled when you go to Russia and you see stands set up and they're selling pornography. Open. With English words on it. Came from this country possibly, more than likely. I'm not sure about that. But let me tell you, There's wicked people in this world, exploiting women and young children, and they go to every link, every description of evil. Be careful that your mind doesn't get polluted with that. It will cause you trouble. And God, help us tonight to keep our eyes on the Lord, to not let our eye be wandering, not let our mind be wandering, and an old evil spirit, an old lustful spirit get a hold of you. Is that all right? Can you say that this is this thing? Can you get down to a problem and you're talking to someone and you finally get down to the meat of it? It's a lustful spirit. Name it. That's what got him. It's an old adulterous spirit. It got a hold of him. Tore their home all apart. It wrecked it because of an old adulterous spirit. God help us tonight, dear ones. I have a heavy burden on my heart that the Lord would help us. I don't normally get up at nighttime. This is not the normal. But I've been fasting and praying for the Lord to help me. I had a heavy weight on my heart, and I feel like there's someone here tonight that needs it. There's someone that needs it, and all of us need it in a sense. We all need this. Yes, we do. A watchful eye. I can't overestimate the power of a lustful spirit. If you've got those things in your home, if you've got something tucked away under the bed, and you're hiding something, you're going to have trouble getting victory with God. You're going to have trouble in your relationship with God. I say this, the best thing for you to do is to burn it. And don't you contribute to that enterprise or that multi-million dollar outfit that's pumping that out into our nation and our young people. Don't support that industry. If you have something like that at home, I'm going to be safe in telling you, you get rid of that thing. You get it out of your life, out of your house, wherever it's at. Dig it up, throw it, burn it is the best thing you can do. You folks at home, you pray for me. You know, I wouldn't be up here tonight unless the Lord gave me something. There's adulterous spirits. There's proud spirits. The spirit of pride. Spirit of pride. It's out of line. Do you know, there's something I'm thinking of right here. It's been burning on my heart. When Paul was commending Timothy, he spoke to Timothy and he said, there was something in your grandmother and there was something in your mother and it's in you also. Isn't that wonderful? But you know the opposite can take place and very often does. That was in your grandmother or your grandfather. That was in your dad or your mom. And that's the reason it's in you. Lord, help us tonight. We wonder and we struggle. And I have such a burden on my heart that the Lord would help us to cease from our struggling and to realize where a lot of our problems are coming from. And to deal with those things right in the face. Stare them right in the face and do something about it. And God will help us and deliver our souls. We come down here and be delivered. And the Lord will do a work in our heart if we can identify a proud spirit. They're around, don't you think they're not? They're getting preachers too. They can get there. Lord, help us. We got something to fight against. Our young people have something to fight against. If they don't see that thing conquered in us, they're going to have a big struggle down the line. If that pride is all blossoming out in my life, let me point all the fingers to me. It's going to come up in all my four boys. It's going to come up in every one of your children too. Whatever you're doing today, you and I are going to reap tomorrow. Or a year from now, there's some seeds that don't germinate for several years. There's some of them that can lay dormant, for several years. You just get a little water on them and up they come. Lord, help us tonight to be true to our soul. I want to be true to your soul tonight. I don't have that long a time up here, but I want to be true to your soul. When I sit down, I want to say, Lord, I've done everything you told me to do. Proud spirits. We can breed that in them. We can feed that thing. If you feed it, you're going to have something on your hands, a huge monster that you're not going to know how to handle. A huge thing that we'll not be able to take care of. Just keep feeding it. I want to tell you something tonight that I believe with all my heart. There is pipelines that feed spirits. There are things that feed spirits. What are we doing to nurture and feed a proud spirit, a lustful spirit, an adulterous spirit? What are we doing to feed that? Didn't Jesus deal with this thing? He said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And if your hand offend thee, you cut it off. All right, let's get out the knife. It wouldn't do me any good to pull out my knife and to cut my eyeball out and to lay that thing out here on the table. If I had an old lustful spirit, an adulterous spirit, it wouldn't do me a bit of good. Nor would it do me good to roll up my sleeve and get a saw and just go to sawing on my hands. Shame on that old thing. Got me into all this trouble. It wouldn't do me any good. I'd cut it out and lay it. That's not what he's talking about. We got to go further than that. There is something that feeds that kind of spirit, and it's your job and mine to cut the thing off. Where the food source is coming in, stop it. You stop it. You cut it off. You're looking at bad things, pornography, what have you. What do? Pluck both your eyes out and you'd still have the same spirit. He said to cut your... There is a spiritual surgery that God can do to help you and I to cut off the avenues and the inlets that is letting those things come into our life, to cut them off. And He wants us to do that. Your hand is a means of the communication or the travel or the vehicle, and it's your hand, you stop that thing. You get yourself in control to the point that you don't go by those things and you don't look at them and you don't do those things anymore. And you'll stop the line to it. And what happens when you cut off the food source to something? It dies. It dies. Many times we wonder, oh Lord, why can't I get victory over this old thing? It just keeps bothering me and hounding me. It's because you're feeding it. You're actually feeding that spirit. You don't say, you're wrong, I don't have one of those types. Well, maybe you have an envious spirit. Oh, wait a minute now. Maybe you've got a jealous spirit. Those things are spirits too. Don't think they're not. And they'll cause you and I trouble. They will cause us problems to let that envious or jealous spirit get in. I got a bird's eye view of that when I was a boy growing up. We had some neighbors that lived off across the street from us, and I could say, well, there was a problem, but I won't. I'll say that there was a jealous spirit. And my dad's here tonight. I don't know where you're at. So you probably laugh when I say this anyway. We bought an air conditioner for our house. They bought an air conditioner for their house. The Beaches. I'm sure they're not here. They bought one for their house. Well, I'm not just sure which one bought the one first, but there was a car that was bought, and the other one bought a car. A little bit better than the other one. And then the other one, they bought an air conditioning cover for their air conditioner. It wasn't enough just to have an air conditioner. Let's get a cover for it. And this thing was going back and forth. You just look and see, wonder what the next thing is going to happen here. And us as boys, we look and see that. There's, well, look what they got. Look at that car. Go look at that and then look at this one. Well, what do you know? You see, when you let an old jealous spirit get in, I'm saying some minor things to you. Jealous spirits will work havoc. You can look at a preacher and say, oh, I wish I'd preach like him. You can get a jealous spirit. God help us. We can get jealous of one another. Oh, if I just had it like them. I want to tell you, if you did, you probably couldn't stand it. You don't know what they have to go through. You don't know all the things they have to bear. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. You're going to have problems in your life if you feed that. If you feed an old jealous spirit, listen, that thing will sap every bit of spiritual life out of you. We can't harbor those things in our life and expect to have the blessings of the Lord flood our soul. I say that we need to cut the pipeline off that's feeding them. You stop that thing. Stop it in its tracks and it'll die out. And the God of heaven will give you grace to be contented with what you have and what I have. You let that thing get rampant and it'll work havoc among us. Jealousy is a terrible thing. I'd like to look a little bit now and talk just a little bit about a stubborn spirit. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. I want to tell you, I've had to do some praying. God has helped me tonight, and I might have to do a lot more. But I want to tell you, an old stubborn spirit that comes around and we feed that stubborn spirit and buck up against truth, and we buck up against authority, and somebody tried to tell us something and there's this resistance there, let me tell you, that old stubborn spirit, he'll take his hold too. You ever read much about a badger? Vicious creature. I wouldn't want to get a hold of one of them for nothing. They say that you can, well, you used to trap them, you probably need to tell us about them. I just want to say a few things about it, and if you want to say some more, Brother Eck, you feel free to do it. You get an old badger, you catch him down in a hole, stick your hand in there to get him, and he latch onto you. My friend, you are in deep trouble. You may not get out of there alive. And I'm serious. Those things will clamp onto your hand and wedge their feet against the side of that wall so strong that I was reading not long ago about them, and they said unless there's another man that can help get you off of there, that thing will stay there till you die. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Dangerous to be stubborn too. When the Spirit of the Lord can't come into your life and mine and show us things and we willingly fall down and lay everything we have at the feet of Jesus and we submit our ideas and our thinking and everything about us, we've got problems. And they're breeding other problems. You know the thing about this spirit world and dealing with our spirits, it's never satisfied with one. It wants to reproduce. And it'll reproduce in your children. If you have children, you're a parent. It'll reproduce in there. An old stubborn spirit. Stand up and walk out and slam the door during meeting. Get so mad and walk out and you hear that door bang. They want to let you know they walked out. They want to let you know that they don't want nothing to do with what you're saying. An old stubborn spirit. Hard to get anything across. Oh, you've been preaching for years and nothing happens, nothing breaks. Involved in that. Something that's very hard to move. Preachers have a hard time with stubborn spirits. They cause many troubles. Every one of the ministers here tonight will tell you how difficult it is to deal with folks with a stubborn spirit. They ain't going to move. I ain't going nowhere. I want to say this, I've said before. Brother Hargrave came to our chapel, held a revival meeting. The Lord sent him there. Brother Kimball was with him. I didn't tell them anything. that was going on. I was glad to have him there. I never mentioned a thing. He got up one night and he said, "The Lord has given me a message." And I'll never forget it. I've never seen anything like it. That brother, it just seemed like he was pulling out hand grenades. And he'd pull the pin and throw it over there. And boom, I thought, "Oh, thank the Lord, that's just what needed to be dealt with." I didn't say a thing to him about it. He didn't finish with that one. He had another one he pulled out and he threw it over on that side. Whew! Lord, you're really working tonight. He was a blasting them out of there. I never seen nothing like it, folks, and I say that to the glory of God. Thought I was doing pretty good till he underhanded one in my on the front row. And it got me too. It got all of us. I was just thinking, instead of praising the Lord, I said, "Lord, help me." I was sitting there worried whether I was going to make it. Caused me to pray. That's all right, isn't it? When it gets down close to us, I want to make heaven my home. And you do too. We can't do it by having an old stubborn spirit. We can't think we're going to make it and have victory with God and not get along with our brother, not be willing to submit some of our ideas and some of our thinking. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm just talking about ideas. We get to thinking those are doctrine. Lord, help us. I met up with a man in Russia that Brother Lachey can tell you. He said, "I don't find that in the Bible." If we can't find it in the Bible, we better be very careful. Be willing to submit your ideas. A stubborn spirit, it won't go. It won't fly. It'll never get off the ground. You and your experience and mine will never work with an old stubborn spirit. Be willing to cut the pipeline off that's feeding it. Be willing to cut off its food source. And you'll find yourself being able to, you can submit to God and humble yourself and be willing, "Lord, I don't understand what they're saying. It's cutting against the grain. It's hurting me, Lord. But I want to be willing to submit. I want to be willing to lay it down because I want to make heaven my home." A self-righteous spirit. Tough one to deal with. Jesus dealt with self-righteous people in His time, didn't He? Very much so. He dealt with folks that thought they had it all. Those are the very ones that killed Him. A self-righteous spirit has no place in the body of Christ. It's out of line. It's out of balance. The thing's flopping. And it's causing you trouble. And it's causing you to have a defeated life. It's because of self-righteousness, thinking that I'm something. I've got the monopoly on this thing. I'm just a little bit more spiritual than you are. Don't touch me. I'm holier than thou. God help us. Self-righteous spirits have no place in the body of Christ. They have no place. But they'll cause you and I much trouble. As ministers, it'll wreak havoc. It's a terrible spirit to deal with. They've been telling me this all these years, and well, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. I've thought this all along. Well, I see it this way. Well, I believe I'm just a little bit better than you are. They won't tell you that, but in many words, that's what they're saying. Beware of self-righteousness. It's a poison. It will sting you. It will cause you much trouble in your spiritual life. Cut the pipeline off that feeds it. Submit ourselves to God. Humble ourselves down to Him. Be willing to give the thing up. What do we read here in 1 John? "Beloved," that's you and I, "believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." A self-righteous spirit. Lord can just take a needle and let that out of that thing. There's many times God deals with us and humbles us down because we get lifted up. Oh, we get lifted up. He doesn't want us to be that way. Yes, that's what it says. Righteously, yes, that's what it says. I'd like to talk just a little bit about a rebellious spirit. I have some scriptures I'm going to read to you in just a minute, Lord willing. A rebellious spirit, very much like a stubborn spirit, but it just hates to be told what to do. Anyone in authority, anything in authority, doesn't want to submit. It rebels. It rebels. Children pick it up when they're young. If we don't conquer them when they're young, they're going to end up rebelling against everything we tell them, fighting against us. They're going to be a terrible thing to deal with. Oh, but I don't want to spank them. I don't want to correct them. I love them so much. I want to tell you, I've seen a lot of things that had to do with rebellious people that started from their mom and dad. It came from their folks. Oh, I don't want to correct them. I just hate to see them cry. I hate to see them come and punch me in the jaw. I hate to see them rise up and rebel against authority, against the police. They call them cops. I hate to see that. I hate to see them rebel against their teachers. What are we going to do? It needs to start when they're young. When they get old, let me tell you, it's a difficult thing when they get old. 40 years old, rebellious spirits, been rebelling all their life. Difficult thing to deal with. You've got something on your hands. And you've got something on yours if you have a rebellious spirit too. You buck up against authority. When it comes to the preaching of the word, it's trouble, it's problems. You see every fault they have. What you're saying, in essence, is you're rebelling. Don't really go along with them. I'm just, you're rebelling. God help us tonight. An old rebellious spirit. There is also several other spirits in the world. In the book of 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Lord, help us tonight. I hope you can see why the Lord led me to get up here as quick as I did. I have several things on my heart. Lord, help us tonight to be able to express our soul and the burden of our heart. The 1 Timothy 4 and 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That means very clearly, very distinctly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're getting down close now to the point that I'd like to talk about tonight. There's many spirits that's out there. We have no qualms about that. We understand that. We believe that. There's seducing spirits. There's unclean spirits. Jesus, many times in the book of Mark, I was reading how many different unclean spirits that He cast out of people. It was unbelievable. Some of them would foam and fall on the ground and kick and they'd fall in the fire and the water and the spirit that was in them, an unclean spirit, would try to destroy their life. Let me tell you, that thing is not dead yet. There's unclean spirits that are still in the world, seducing spirits. There's all manner of things. I'm going to say something here. All of you, most all of you, I want to say, if you've been around Missouri, I don't know what it's like in other places. I want to tell you, there's a billboard that advertises Coors and has a near-naked lady on that. One day I drove by and I looked at that, and it was just like behind that there was a devil with a spear. And I saw something further than the lustful thing that was there on the billboard. It was the devil. And everyone that falls into his clutches is going to be caught. He's saying, he is saying to you, look at this, lust after it, and I'll get a hold on you. I'll dig you with my fork. I'll dig you. I'll get a spirit in you that you won't be able to handle. Every time I tell you, there's many things that's out there in the world today, dear ones, you're going to have to watch. There's a devil behind it. Many things like that. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Lord, help us tonight. Unclean spirits. I believe they're still around. And God, help us and give you and I power to discern them and be able to cast them out when it comes our time to do that. To have the power to deal with those kind of things. In the book of James, I'd like to read a verse here. Help us tonight. In the book of James, the second chapter, and the 19th verse, he says here, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." We don't have nothing over him in that respect. He believes that there's one God too. Listen, you and I are going to have some power about our lives. We're going to have some spiritual discernment about us. We got some things that we're dealing with now. And Lord, help us to have enough of the power of God in our life to be able to deal with those things. And God, to cast them out, because they're in, folks. How do spirits convey? Where are they at? I don't see them in this microphone, this wood. They're in people. And they're also in the air. There's many things, many spirits, the unseen world. And God, help you and I to stay clear, to keep our spirits in line. The thought that I'd like to share with you this evening. Those of you who can't read that, thought I'd like to share with you this evening is the evening feast. None of us will, that study the Bible much, will buck up against the idea that we're in the evening time. If you look at your song book, it'll say evening light songs. We don't have no trouble with that. We are in the evening time. This is not high noon. This is not early in the morning. We are in the evening time. There is a feast going on right now in the evening time. And it is happening to everyone that gives sin a place in their life. Everyone that gives and yields theirself to the spirit of the devil, whether it be an adulterous spirit or a jealous spirit or an envious spirit, there's a feast that's being prepared, and you are the one that's on the board. You are the one on the plate. I hope you understand me. A feast at evening time. Dear ones, I don't want to be part of this feast. I don't want to be one that's on the plate. There's things that's being sacrificed to the devil. Hand it over to him. And this is one that I don't want to be a part of. A feast of evil spirits preying on souls. Yes. This is what it is.
That's right.
God, help you and I tonight to be careful and watchful with our soul.
Yes.
Something is happening in our world.
Yes.
Something is going on around and among our body of people.
Yes.
And God, help you and I to not be one that's sacrificed.
Yes.
One that's given up. We must be careful, my brother and sister. We must watch our soul. Because there's evil spirits that is going to pull on you and I if we don't stay true to God. We must stay true to the Lord. We can't compromise a thing. We can't give in to anything. We're going to have to hold true to the very end. There's a lot of different spirits that's out there to snare you and I.
Yes.
A feast at evening time.
Yes.
What do you think about that? Are you going to be on the table? Are you going to be in the pot?
Oh, Lord.
Am I going to be there? The disciples said, Lord, is it I? If we're not careful, we're going to be caught. We're going to be in the pot. Lord, help our souls tonight. 2 Peter, I'd like to look here just a moment. You know, we've wondered many times, the thought that I have now is religious spirits. I need your prayers this evening. We are in a time where we are battling religious spirits. Don't think for one moment that they're not rampant in the land, because they are. Religious spirits. You and I are facing those today. Our testimony can be dampened. Our life can be altered by religious spirits. Lord, help us tonight. St. John 8:33. Well, let me read in 1 Peter 4. They are very much alive and they're out there, and we're battling them. He says here in the 18th verse, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Do you ever think about who the ungodly is? I have a new little something that I learned since I was in Russia, and probably knew some of it before I got here. The ungodly, those, they call it, that are loose from God. They are loose from God. Once knew God, once was closely associated with God, but now they're loose from God. The ungodly. He didn't call them, there was a category here. The righteous, if they scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The ungodly are those, I believe, that, and I stand to be corrected on this, but
listen.
Pardon?
Somebody.
Yes? Somebody that once had an experience with the Lord. Where are they at? They hadn't given up their testimony. They're still around. They're still here. Oh, where are they at? That's way out there. Well, that's true. But that can be right among us, and I'm not trying to cause a suspicion. God help us. The ungodly. Someone that's loose from God. Religious spirits is what I'm speaking about right now at the moment. A religious spirit. That's one of the things that can do you and I a lot of harm. We have to be careful that we stay in tune with the Maker. That we can detect when something is out of line. A religious spirit can come in all kinds of clothing. Doesn't take preference who he works through either. He can work through any vehicle that'll get in that room. But he said they're the ungodly. They had an experience with God at one time and have given that up. Their testimony is no longer on fire for God. It's no longer that burning inspiration. There's something happened. Very difficult. Folks, listen. We are having a great battle on our hands. There is a battle on our hands against this very thing. We're battling against spirits. Wickedness in high places, we heard about the other day. High places. The religious realm. Where higher could they be? People that had the name. People that carried the profession but didn't have the experience can deal the most damage and the deadliest blows to our work than anything. Let the devil come in, would recognize it. But you let a wolf come in sheep's clothing, and we have problems. If you and I don't pull apart its mouth and look at its teeth, if we don't pinch that thing, if we don't cause that thing somehow to rear up and to show itself and to expose what it is, that's a wolf. So a friend of mine worked with me, was over in Vietnam and having trouble losing a soldier every night. On guard, they thought they was going to sleep. Thought he was catching a little nap. They lost one, I don't know, one or two nights. Finally, the next fellow that was going to be on guard duty, this is what he told me. Right at evening time, he looked out there and he saw an old pig rutting around out in the dirt. And he noticed the thing was just a little bit off. There was something not quite right about it. He watched the old thing rooting around, and it got up closer and closer and closer to him. And underneath that guard was the enemy. It wasn't a pig at all. A lot of things can deceive you and I if we're not careful. It looks ever so good. Oh, listen, folks. It's not how long you've been around. What kind of spirit do you have? What kind of a spirit do you... Oh, Brother Bell, they've been around for 40 years. They've been around here 10 years. What kind of spirit do they have? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Our age doesn't ensure us on getting into heaven. Neither does all the things that happened to us in the past. We've got to have an up-to-date experience with God. If somewhere we've lost our grip on God and we're going on with just a profession, we're the ungodly. We're the ungodly. I could rake sectism up and down and say all manner of things about them, and we'd feel pretty comfortable about that. Get them. You'd probably get them. But when it comes down to you and I, you say, now you're breeding suspicion among us. Not at all. That's not my burden at all. I have not got the burden. I'm not trying to do that. I'm saying that every one of us is going to have to be careful till we take our last breath. And if we haven't stayed in line with the Spirit of God and we've got out of line somewhere, we need to get lined up. I would rather make it into heaven and barely get down the altar because of my age or whatever it took and make heaven my home than to carry that profession in that high up place that I've been having, and there's been a dryness and a deadness with my testimony in my life and miss heaven. Let me get down to that altar. Well, what are people going to think about me? What's the Lord going to think about you? That's the most important thing we have to deal with tonight. It's not me. It's the Lord. Lord, help us this evening. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because you're a teacher, you're a pastor, or a minister. We have to stay close to the Lord. The ungodly, where are they going to appear? If the righteous, scarcely, with much difficulty, where are they going to appear? We don't have a monopoly on this thing, dear ones. In fact, we are greatly responsible for what we have. And Lord, help us tonight. We have much responsibility with the life that we have. Much responsibility. John, the 8th chapter. Lord, help us this evening here. Religious spirits, dear ones, can work havoc among us. The book of John, the 8th chapter, in the 33rd verse. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, isn't that wonderful? And look here what he said to the righteous people, the professors of those times. Look what he said to them. I know that you are Abraham's seed. I know that you are that lineage. I know you're born again. I know that you have this in you. But what are you going to say? But you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. You're church of God. I'm church of God. Well, you go, I'm church of God. But you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. There's something that goes very deep in this to me. Something that's more than just the surface. These folks had a high profession. They were supposed to be the religious leaders of the world in those times. And they were. You're Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Religious spirit. Oh, beware. Jesus named them out, didn't he? How many of us would like to sit down at that meal? You old viper. You hypocrite. You whited sepulcher. Brother Bell, could you tone that down just a little bit? I could, but the Lord didn't. If I do it, I'm not going to be doing what the Lord did. Oh, but we don't do those things anymore. God, help our souls tonight to stand up and call them a viper. A brood of vipers. Not just one, your whole brood of vipers. Don't you know there were some changes in faces around that place? White faces, blue faces, red faces, ready to kill him. He knew what was going on. He could read their hearts, all their professions. Let me tell you something. Our profession, what does it mean? Well, in a sense, it means a lot to me. But think about it for a minute. Would you be willing to give up your profession if it was something that was contrary to the Word of God and it was wrong? Would you be willing to give that up? God help us. This was what Jesus faced in His day. Carrying on a name, but nothing inside. Whited sepulcher. Empty. Full of dead men's bones. Where are we at tonight, dear ones? Lord, help us. This is what we're facing. Some of the things we're facing. The Lord wants to help us to be true with ourselves. If we're out of line with the Spirit of God, the Lord wants to line us up. And He wants to keep us in line. It means you and I dropping whatever a profession. If we don't have the real essence down in our heart, dear ones, we don't have anything. Trade that thing in and get something that you can be full and you can have something bubbling up in your life. Religious spirits. I'm telling you, Lord, help us tonight. I've seen things in those that is damaging the work of the Lord. It can damage the work of God. It can hinder us in our life. We imbibe those things. Let me tell you, there's a wine of Babylon that they have. And what is that? It's not grape juice. It's not wine. There is a spirit. If you and I imbibe of that spirit, and we drink of that thing, let me tell you, you'll be tainted with that. Forgive me for this crude illustration. I shot a skunk out by our house one night. I was quite a ways away from it, because I know what those characters can do. And I shot it, and there was this cloud of stink go up everywhere. Now I couldn't say the thing sprayed me. I couldn't do that. Because I saw that cloud, and I watched which way the wind was carrying it, and I didn't walk through that. But somehow, something happened, I don't know, that thing got on my clothes. My wife said, "Whoo!"
words you just said.
I couldn't say that he sprayed me, but I got in his scent somewhere. God help us tonight. If we've got caught up and we've imbibed a religious spirit, let me tell you, that thing can follow you, and there's a scent that gets on that. I might lose some of your favor here tonight. But, you know, we have a hearty amen for rock music. We could say, brother, that's wrong. Amen, we agree with you. That's wonderful. Country music, there might be several amens. But what about gospel music? Lord, help us tonight. Is that the scent that we want? There is things that I feel that can get attached to us. That when it comes time to be in prayer meeting and the songs of Zion start to flow, our songs can be hindered because of what we've been listening to. And when we don't have the beat, and when we don't have all the voices tuned together, people think, well, I can go get that back on the tape player. I can get that on the radio. And pretty soon there is a tuning in to that spirit. Lord, help our souls tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm glad I'm working for the Lord tonight. He's a wonderful person to work for. If I had to work for man, I'd be in a terrible place. But I'm glad the Lord, I work for Him. Amusement parks. Pray for me tonight. I want to say something here. If you get real happy because of what I say, the Lord will help you to see that I don't get fed off of all the amens. Maybe some preachers do, but if the Lord doesn't reward me, the amens sound good for a while, but when I get home and get all by myself, though I forget who said it and I forget everything else, and if the Lord don't bless me in it, I'm in trouble. Me later. But I'm going to tell you something I've seen, and I'm going to, if I have to ask the Lord for help or whatever, I'm going to do that. I can't afford to lose my soul. I want to be able to get a grip on God, and you do too. But those things have a way of dampening the Spirit of the Lord. They'll dampen it. I know they will. You may not agree with me, but I want to tell you that those places can erase everything in a child's mind when it comes to Scripture and different things of the Word of God. They have a nullifying effect. Very similar to music and other things like that. And God help us tonight. I'm not trying to deprive people. I'm trying to put a coat on the devil. We've been struggling and having troubles and problems. I just want you to see something. If you don't see it this way, you pray for me. But I see something here. And the Lord help us to be able to combat it. Now, how are we going to do it? We're going to have to retract ourselves, and we're going to have to be careful where we go. I don't say walking through the zoo or going to see some animals and things like that is wrong. I said amusement. Too much of that amusement has a way of getting a hold. I'd like to ask you for a little bit of something tonight. When I get done, I don't mean to stir up a bunch of trouble here this evening. And I'd appreciate it if you'd be very careful. If you've got something the Lord give you, come up here. But if you don't, please don't get nothing started. I know that I could get on a little old bandwagon and take off and have people all fired up. That's not my purpose. I'm not here for popularity. I'm not here to get people all stirred up, except for against the devil. I have a burden on my heart. A religious spirit. They come in different forms. Beware, dear ones, of gospel music. There is things that I see in that. Gospel concerts and things are going to. You just beware. I'm going to tell you, just beware and watch. Because there is something there that is not right. There is a cup that's passed around. Drink it. You say, I've never seen one of them at any kind of gospel. You must not know what you're talking about. The Bible speaks of the wine of Babylon. It speaks of a wine, and listen, if you sip that and you imbibe that spirit, let me tell you, you're taking on something. You're taking something on that's going to be hard for you to get victory over many times. Be careful. The wine of Babylon will make you drunk. You'll lose your sharpness and your keenness against right and wrong. You'll lose that. Just take a little sip. What do you mean? You just start patting your foot. You start getting in the spirit of it. It can get a hold of you. It can get a hold of you. Please pray for me this evening. Lord, help us tonight. I want to see the Lord more prevalent in our services. Forgive me, I just can't stop right now. I want to see the Lord more powerful in our midst. I want to see Him blessing our lives. I'm not up here tonight to gain popularity. I'm not here to get all the amens. I'm not here for that purpose. But it is to help us to see that there is damaging things that's out there. And they're under a cloak of religion many times. And those are the most dangerous ones. Those are the most dangerous ones. David said in one place, if it was an enemy that came against me, I could handle that better. In other words, but he said it was thou, mine equal. We walk in the house of God in company together. He's lifted his heel up against me. That hurts. That hurts. Those that are, we say Christians, that can do some of the most damage to us. Babylon certainly has a way to get people in. Oh, as I watch the movement of Babylon, how it goes out. And it grabs and gathers everyone that it can. I just shook my head and I watched and seen how Babylon operates. And I thought, Lord, where were you? What do you think about this? And Jesus, He's already went through these things. When He spoke about them, look over here with me in the book of Matthew 23, just for a moment here. The 23rd chapter of Matthew. I believe one thing, if the Lord can give me the grace to preach it, He can give me the grace to live it. And He can give you the grace to live it. And I'll take the blows that's due to me. But I want to tell you, I've got to be true to the Lord. I've got to be true to God. Jesus went through all kind of religious spirits and things in His time. Look with me now in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. The 15th verse, I won't read all of this. I quoted some of it a while ago. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he's made, what happens? You make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. There is something about Babylon and something about the spirit of confusion and the spirit, the religious spirits that's out there. They have a way to gather them in. They can get them in large numbers. But what happens? He said they'll compass land and sea. There's no limit where they'll go to get them. But what happens? When they become a child of God, Or say, when they get a hold of him, in other words, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Lord, help us tonight. Religious spirits, they're working. They're very much alive, and they're dealing some blows to people's souls. They're dealing blows to souls. God, help us tonight. The book of Revelation, the 18th chapter, and after these things, 18 and 1 of Revelation, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There is something common commuted to those who have imbibed a religious spirit. There is something we say in our songbook, we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. They have a way of communicating too. And there is a spirit. But dear ones, listen, we're going to have to stay free from his mark. There's another scripture, and I don't have time to look all these, to read this to you, but there's a scripture that said they overcame him. They didn't have his mark or his name on them. That's us. And that is those who are going to be saved from this evening feast, is those who don't carry his mark and his name. And Lord, help you and I to be free, to not have his mark and his name. The mark. They have a mark. It's not on... There's something more than just a little red dot or a little social security number stamped there. They carry a way of communication. Amen. They carry a way of a spiritual communication. Birds of a feather. They flock together. Yeah. They have their own means and own ways. They recognize each other. We don't want to have any of that mark on us, dear ones. If we don't hold to the truth, if we don't ask God to help us, there is a line on, there's a perch full of unclean spirits, of devils that is waiting to prey on you and I. None of us are exempt. If we don't hold true, listen, they're there. They're waiting to prey on you and I. If we don't hold to the truth and what we know, there's going to be, you'll be given for supper. Given for supper. Oh, listen, we don't want to give them food. How are we going to escape? We're going to have to keep our spirit free from these things. We're going to have to keep our life free from these things. I'm sorry, there's things that I... other scriptures that I have, but I'm going to have to close. But I ask you tonight, if there's one of these things in your life, my whole point of the message was not to name out just two or three things. My burden is spirits. And God help us tonight. They're here. They're spirits that's here, that's untamed, uncultivated. They're not in the control of God. Cross them and you'll see what they are. Rub them wrong and you'll see what's under the skin. Lord, help us tonight. If you've imbibed something, if you've taken something into your life, the Lord can deliver you from that tonight. He can deliver your soul. I want to say with all confidence in the ministry, God can deliver your soul. You let that religious spirit grow and you keep feeding that and any other spirit that we've mentioned, and you'll have damage come to you in your life, and you'll be part of the evening feast. There's a feast that's going on right now, and it'll always be to the end of time, and it's those that have given sin a place in their life. You give sin a place in your life. I'd like to sing that song, whatever, 404. I'd like to stand and sing that. And again, I feel like impressing here, I would rather that You be careful. If the Lord's given you something to say tonight, I'm not here to stir something up. I want to caution you, just being careful of what you say here tonight. I love your soul. I would not be up here if I didn't. If you've been out somewhere, we heard about just a moment. The Lord brought something on my mind. We've heard about this movement that's fallen. If you've sympathized with that spirit, and you've kind of let that thing you kind of went along with it a little bit, it reminds me of when I got in that skunk scent. You might have carried something back in the camp with you. You might have brought a Babel stone back with you. The Lord wants to clear that up. He wants to deliver you from that. If you have that. We can't sympathize with those spirits. We cannot give in to them. If we sympathize with something, you're taking a drink. God help us. Pray for me.
God is sweeping through the